Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 13. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand and we can get you one. Acts chapter 13, just keep your hand up and somebody will bring you a Bible. I would encourage you to follow along this morning. I was born in Hutchinson, Kansas. When I was around a year old, my parents moved us to Omaha, Nebraska. And so I spent my early growing up years in Omaha, Nebraska from age right around one that I don't remember until I was around 9 years of age. One of my best friends was the pastor's second son, David. And David and I hung around each other quite a bit. We did a lot of things together. And we talked about one day being missionaries. I remember just being 7 or 8 years old when I would talk to David, and we even started making plans. We were drawing our house, what it was going to look like, a hut, because it was going to be to Ethiopia. We had been impacted by a visiting missionary in our church. And he and his wife were missionaries to Ethiopia. And it just really had an impact on us. And so we planned this and talked about this. Every time we'd get together, we would say something about one day being missionaries to Ethiopia. Well, then we moved, our family moved, about 100 miles west of Omaha to a farm, on a farm near Monroe, Nebraska. And so we lost contact after he and his family had come out to visit us one time. But from that one time, I was probably 9 years old when they came to visit us out there on the farm. And I never heard about him again, never heard from him, nor he from me. Just a few months ago, my older brother Kelvin mentioned something, that he had seen something in the Omaha newspaper about this guy, that he had been the deputy chief of police in Omaha. And so I went online. This is the nice thing about having the internet today. And I went online and I did a search and I found him. And I studied about him, and sure enough, he was the deputy chief of police in Omaha and was retiring. And I thought, how interesting. And my mind went back some 50 years to when we were just kids and the things we did together. And I thought, you know, I didn't become a missionary to Ethiopia, but I am in the gospel ministry. And he went that direction. Not that it's bad, but I thought, how interesting. How that at one time we were together, even made plans together, that one day we would be together in Ethiopia as missionaries. And then he took the direction he took, and I took the direction that God led me to take, and perhaps the Lord led him to take that job as a chief of police. So two young men brought up together in a sense, but chose divergent paths. So this week I was studying, and I was going to prepare the message for Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 12, even down to verse 13. And I thought, you know, I need to really get going on this. And I got on verse 1 and I got stuck. So I'm preaching verse 1. And not just verse 1, but just a few words out of verse 1. Because this just so impacted. Maybe it's what had happened with my friend David, and I had been thinking about that, and then I saw this. Two men in this passage brought up together in the days of Jesus and Paul who took divergent paths. You know, the path that everyone takes is the product of many choices, many influences, even sisters, brothers, friends. In some cases, they make similar choices. I can think of Moses and Aaron. They both became leaders of Israel together. I think of Joshua and Caleb, who together chose to say, no, we're going to, by faith, we want to go into the promised land. Two men who made the same choice and God blessed them together as they took the same path. Others made different choices, and we see the impact at the end of their life. Cain and Seth. Jacob and Esau. Herod and Manaen. You say, I've never heard of Manaen. Well, how many times have you read your Bible? I hadn't either. I mean, at least I've read his name time and again. All of us have done this. You go through lists of names, you go, you know, there's nothing said about this guy. I'm going to read on. Here he is. In Acts 13:1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. About a year ago, I acquired a book with this title, In Paul's Shadow, Friends and Foes of the Great Apostle, a book by D. Edmund Hebert, one of my favorite commentators. And in this book, he goes through hundreds of names of those who Paul mentions either in his epistles or that are named in the book of Acts. Men and women Paul knew. And so one of the first parts of the book is prominent personalities. And so he there discusses Apollos and Aquila and Priscilla, Barnabas, Luke, Mark, Silas, Timothy, Titus, and so forth. And then he's got another part that's called Lesser Lights. And in this, he talks about Ananias, Demas, Gaius, Onesimus, Philemon, Trophimus. And yet the man that's in this chapter is not mentioned there. Did Manaen know Saul? Well, look at the list again. They served together in the church at Antioch. That's like somebody here, knowing somebody here at Westside. Although I'm sure this was a larger church. And so you get to part three of this book. And part three of the book is entitled, All the Others, Named and Unnamed. Now that's the part of the book that all of us would probably be in. Named and Unnamed. In fact, I looked up his name, and there I found it. Number 58 in a list of 97 names. Manaen. And he's given three lines that says, a friend of Saul, who grew up with Herod. Very brief. The Bible tells us nothing more about this man. You know, if the Bible would tell us in detail the things that we would like to know about people, because how many times have you read your Bible and said, boy, I wish I knew more about this, and why doesn't the Lord address this? How long would your Bible be? You don't even read the Bible you have. God has given us in His Word that which He wants us to know. John the Apostle, when he was writing about the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John, came to the very last verse of the gospel, and he said this, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written about Jesus Christ. That's just about Jesus Christ. The world itself could not even contain all the books. There are so many things we don't know about him, but folks, the things that we need to know, God has told us. That he died on a cross for your sin and mine, that there's a day of judgment coming. He took my sin upon him. He took the judgment that I deserve. He has told us what we need to know. So I thought, well, there will be nothing on this Manaen. But then I got to thinking about Herod. How is it we know more about Herod than we do Manaen? And why was it that these two men took such divergent paths? I mean, here they are as kids, and then their lives went like this. And so I began to compare Scripture with Scripture. And I found that it gave insight of how two men brought up together took divergent paths. Some of this is speculation on my part, but it's very interesting. Here we have Herod, and what's he called there? Read it. Herod the Tetrarch, mentioned in both the gospel, all the gospels, and here in the book of Acts. Manaen, right here. And you may be thinking, Pastor, why are you saying Manaen? Well, how would you pronounce it? I didn't know, so I went to my Greek New Testament, and I'm pronouncing it the way it is written in Greek. Manaen. Say that with me, please. Manaen. Emphasis on the last syllable. Manaen. That's this man. What do we know about him according to verse 1? Well, he was an associate of Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, and Saul. He was a prophet slash teacher in the church there at Antioch, where believers were first called, where the disciples were first called Christian, followers of Jesus Christ. Apparently this man, Manaen, had an impact in that church along with these others in teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want us to look at four things about these men as I studied my Bible. Number one, I want to look at their relationship. Their relationship. Because their relationship with each other is mentioned with their upbringing. Now, look at these six words. Which had been brought up with. Manaen, here we go again. Which had been brought up with. That's one word in the Greek. And it literally means foster brothers. Now you can see how this piqued my interest. These men were foster brothers. Manaen and Herod were foster brothers. It has the idea that they were nourished together. Bruce, in his commentary, says the title foster brother was given to boys of the same age as royal princes who were brought up with them at court. Manaen is familiar with the court of Herod. They're brought up together. So I began to do some study about Herod. And by the way, you can find all kinds of things about this Herod. Herod the Tetrarch, also known as Herod Antipas. You can find him on Wikipedia, Encyclopedia Britannica. But I mainly go to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, and there I found out that Herod, this man mentioned here, was born around the year 21. You say, why did you say around? Because I saw somebody say 20, I saw somebody say 21. Around 21 BC, before Christ. He was exiled and perhaps died around AD 39, so around the age of 60. Manaen, probably around the same age as Herod. So, since he was brought up together, so probably right around 20 or 21 BC. So here in Acts 13, 1, he's about 65 years old, because we know that this is taking place, if you've been here in past messages, and you go back, we know that the other Herod mentioned in the previous verses, different Herod, died. We know he died at 44 AD. That has been well established. So there's their relationship. They were brought up together. Number two, their tutor. Who brought them up? By the way, the relationship was chosen for them. They didn't choose each other as kids. That was chosen for them. Their tutor, that was chosen for them. So who influenced these two young men as youths, as children? Very impressionable. Vladimir Lenin. You know who Vladimir Lenin is? Bolshevik Revolution, Russia, 1917, he said this, "Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted." And by the way, the public schools want your kids today. And they want to corrupt them. Lenin's wish is coming true in the American public school system. But wait, wait. And in most churches. In fact, I would rather send my child to a public school where he knows what they're saying there is not true than to send him a church where they just go, "Oh, I didn't know that." And they soak everything in. Parents are subjecting their children to the soft teaching so they can enjoy church. You see, church has become something we enjoy. Where in the Bible do you see that? Church is a place where you come to worship God. The emphasis is not on what I enjoy. The emphasis is not on how is this going to help me? You know, it's all about me. No, I want to worship the Lord. The parents are subjecting their children to soft teaching so they can enjoy church, so that church is fun. And they can have friends. I'm reaching down to get a little book that I read in our family devotions years ago when our boys were around probably 10, 11, 12, 13. It's called Thoughts for Young Men by J.C. Ryle. I wish I could read you a couple of pages out here, but I'm just going to read you one little section where he talks about be careful of the friends that you have. And I remember reading this to our boys when they were that age. He says, the world's proverb is only too correct. Clothes and company will tell true tales about character. That's just one little saying. But he says, I dwell upon this point because it has more to do with your prospects in life than first appears. Here's the quote. If you ever marry, it is more than probable you will choose a wife from among your circle of friends or their acquaintances. So be careful who your friends are. That's his whole point. And I could read on and on. Be careful who your friends are. You will probably marry based upon who your friends are. Folks, I'm talking about the influences on all of us. Because mentors, those who teach us, our tutors, are supremely important. Where you go to church is supremely important. Jesus said in Matthew 18:6, whoso shall offend, that is, cause to stumble, one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned into the depths of the sea. Jesus was concerned about the influences that little children would have put upon them. This applies to teachers who influence our children. Social media and how kids are being impacted by social media. Music. I was reading an article this week about a lady, Hannah Rosen, who wrote an article back in 2008 about how that she can't believe that rock music is coming into the churches. She's a secularist. She's not even a Christian. And she sees the hypocrisy of the kind of music that churches are playing and messing with because it appeals to young people. Well, so do Hostess Twinkies. That doesn't mean we stuff it down their throats and feed them on it all the time. What else influences kids? Pedophiles. They'll do what they can to get your kids. And of course, parents. Parents are the influence upon their own children. Then the church should counter people like Vladimir Lenin. And the church should counter people like Herod the Great. Not Herod the Tetrarch. Herod the Great was Herod the Tetrarch's father. You know anything about Herod the Great? Do you remember who went into the city of Bethlehem and had Hundreds of little children ages 2 and under murdered because he was afraid that somebody might usurp the throne from him. That was Herod the Great. This Herod the Tetrarch's father. What kind of influence did Herod the Tetrarch have? Same influence was on Manaen. ISBE, and if I say ISBE, it means International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. I just want you to remember, ISBE says this: Manaen was probably brought up and educated with this Herod, Antipas, and his brother, Archelaus. As foster brothers, they'd have the same tutor. What is a tutor? I remember memorizing something called a tutor who tooted the flute, tried to tutor two tutors to toot, said the two to the tutor. Is it easier to toot or to tutor two tutors to toot? So what's a tutor? Did y'all pick up on that? I had to memorize that years ago for voice and diction. I can't believe I just thought of that. It's amazing the things I can recall and the things I can't remember that are right in front of my face. Paul uses a tutor as an illustration. Go to Galatians chapter 4, and I hope that you stay with me in turning in your Bibles. You need to see, not just hear, what is written. I want you to see what a tutor is in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. This is an illustration that Paul is using, so I'm not going to get into what he's illustrating. I am simply going to his illustration because it gives us insight into what a tutor was in that day. Galatians 4, 1 and 2. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he is Lord of all, but is under, here it is, tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. So a child in the ancient world, in a wealthy home or in a influential home, like that of Herod, would be put under a tutor. Somebody would tutor that child. Herod's tutor. Oh, if we could only know who Herod's tutor was. We do. And you guys are going ahead in the notes and probably getting, oh, I'm going to find out where this is. It's there. Would you now turn to Luke chapter 8? Now you can see why I got so distracted this week in studying this. I was following these paths. His name is Chuza, C-H-U-Z-A, Chuza, or Kuza. In Luke chapter 8, verses 1 and following, and it came to pass afterward that he, it's talking about Jesus, went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Note verse 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Note, verse 3, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. That word for steward is the same word for tutor in Galatians 4, 2. That's literally Herod's tutor. And it goes on to say, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Hey, look at this. Chuza was tasked with tutoring Herod. And who was brought up with little Herod? Manaen. They both had the same tutor, Chuza. They were both influenced by the same man. Well, who might Chuza have been? What does Chuza have to do with anything? His wife's name was Joanna. Who was Joanna? She was one of the women who ministered to Jesus of their substance. She was a follower of Jesus Christ. And Joanna's husband, Chuza, is tutoring. We read further on in the Bible that Joanna was a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. Go with me to Luke chapter 23. Jesus has been crucified in chapter 23. after he died on the cross. It says this in verse 55 of Luke 23, "And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the eleven and to all the rest. Now note verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene and it was Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the tutor of Herod and Manaen. Joanna. Perhaps Joanna, folks, had influence on her husband Chuza. We don't know whether he was a Christian or not. We don't know whether he was a follower of Jesus Christ or not. But we know that Joanna was a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. And Chuza, still known as Herod's tutor during Christ's ministry, maybe her influence upon her husband, who influenced two young men, Herod, Manaen. It is no accident. You get to Acts 13:1, and there's a man by the name of Manaen who's teaching. He had been tutored. You know what? When we get to heaven one day, we will no doubt learn of the unknown influences we had on someone who had an influence on someone else and that person on someone else that may have tremendous impact of which we have no idea in this life. Sometimes, folks, you think, "Well, I'm not impacting anybody. You know, I'm not seeing thousands saved. I only get to witness to one person." You know what? One day, you may find out that it was a word that you said to somebody, a gospel witness you gave someone that is going to have tremendous impact on them. And how exciting it was to start tracing Manaen's relationships with people, even back to his tutor. You know what? Your influence for Jesus Christ on any individual in this world may be only 6 degrees away from impacting Christ for even others in high places. You say, why did you use the term 6 degrees? How many have ever heard that term, the 6 degree relationship? Yeah. I didn't believe it until I researched it. You see what I spent my time doing this week? It's called a degree of separation. And it's a measure of social distance. Forget COVID now, folks. It has nothing to do with COVID. It's a measure of social distance between people. You are 1 degree away from everyone you know. So you look at everybody in here, and we now know each other. We're 1 degree away from each other. 2 degrees away from everyone they know. You're 2 degrees away from everybody I know. I am 2 degrees away from everybody each of you knows. And so on. And so back in 2008, Microsoft researchers studied billions of electronic messages. And they worked out this, that any two strangers are, on average, distanced by precisely 6.6 degrees of separation. And back then, when the world was at 6.6 billion people, they say it does seem hard to believe, but the theory of 6 degrees of separation contends that because we are all linked by chains of acquaintance, you are just 6 introductions away from any other person on this planet. We typically say it's a small world. Why am I going through all this? Joanna probably thought, I'm not doing anything for Christ. And yet she probably had an influence. We don't know. But we know her husband was the tutor to Mona Ain. A week ago, I wasn't here. My wife and I were attending church in Pagosa Springs. We found a church to attend there last weekend. But it was the day before. We were in Pagosa Springs on Saturday, and they had this balloon festival. And we were out there watching the balloons launch Saturday morning. It was a beautiful morning after I went to the Corvette show. And watching these balloons launch, we got to talking to some people, and Juanita just happened to mention, yeah, we moved to Greeley to start a church. And this couple we were talking to, their ears perked up. And they found out we were Christians. We found out they were Christians. They invited us to stay in their home that night. You say, Pastor, are you sure? No, well, you know, we checked them out. Beautiful home overlooking a beautiful valley. They took us out to eat that night. But here's the point. When we were talking that night, they mentioned a guy's name. I've never met these people in my life before Saturday. And they mentioned a man I knew. How in the world could that happen? And we start talking about that man. We were saying, it can't be the same man. It is. It was the same man that I knew very well, that he knew very well. Folks, who you impact is significant. Isby says this again, an earlier glimpse of Christian influence in Herod's court is afforded by Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuza, among the holy women who ministered to Jesus. Ladies, never use the excuse, I'm just the wife of. Never say, I'll never have an impact. I'm just in a small church. That's their tutor. And then I want to go on to their chosen pursuit, the pursuit that they chose. Remember, same tutor, same influence. Now, what kind of life did each pursue? Let's look first of all at Herod. Herod the Tetrarch. He's different than the Herod the king that's in the previous chapter. The one in the previous chapter is his nephew. Herod the Tetrarch is the uncle of the Herod who was eaten up of worms in the last part of chapter 12. Herod the Tetrarch is son of Herod the Great. He ruled from 4 BC when Herod the Great died all the way to AD 39. The word Tetrarch is a prince who governs one-fourth of a domain or kingdom. One-fourth of a kingdom. And Herod the Tetrarch just so happened to be the tetrarch of what region? Well, that's where we go next in our Bibles, Luke chapter 3, verse 1. And I'm going to read it as soon as I get there. I'm sorry if you don't, maybe you'll beat me, maybe not. But in chapter 3 of Luke and verse 1, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, this is the first year of Jesus' ministry, so Jesus is 30 years old here. Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, here we go, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee. Wait. Where did Jesus grow up? What city did he grow up in? Anybody? Nazareth. In what region was Nazareth? Galilee. And it goes on to talk about the other tetrarchs there in 3:1. His brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene. Here's these tetrarchs, each the ruler, governors of one-fourth of a particular kingdom. Herod, the tetrarch of Galilee. This is the same Herod who in chapter 3 of Luke, if you're still in Luke, and I would encourage you to stay in Luke for just a few minutes, look at chapter 3 and verse 19. But Herod, the tetrarch, being reproved by John the Baptist for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done. Was Herod a good man or a bad man? All the evils he had done. Herod the Tetrarch, a very wicked man, so much so that John the Baptist had to reprove him in public and say, you should not have that wife that you have because she belongs to another. And for all the evils which he did, you look into the life of Herod, folks, he was a wicked man brought up by Chuza, influenced by Joanna, a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, let's keep reading about this Herod. He not only is reproved by John the Baptist, but, and we're not going to turn it, but in Matthew chapter 14, what does he do to John the Baptist? He beheads him. And later on, we read in chapter 9 of Luke, if you're still in Luke, go to chapter 9. And it says this in verse 7. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him. It's referring to Jesus. And he was perplexed because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. Oh man, the guy I just beheaded, now he's risen from the dead. This guy is a kook. But he's a kook because he's evil. His conscience bothers him. And you keep reading. Verse 9. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this? Of whom I hear such things. And he desired to see him. Herod the Tetrarch wants to see Jesus. Go to chapter 13 of Luke, where he is suspected by the Pharisees of wanting to kill Jesus. Luke 13, 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill you. So Herod the Tetrarch wants to kill Jesus, they say. Now Jesus gives his opinion of Herod in verse 32. This is what I love. And Jesus said unto them, go tell that fox. Folks, look up here. The word fox is not a term of endearment. In fact, Epictetus, a Greek philosopher, said that foxes are rascals of the animal kingdom and men like them are slanderous and malicious. People say, oh, Christians aren't supposed to speak out against those in authority. Jesus did. John the Baptist did. You go tell that fox. And then Luke 23. Where Jesus is before Pilate. And it says in verses 4 and 5 of Luke 23, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up all the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. Pilate's ears perk up. Galilee? Galilee? And so verse 6, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. For he was desirous to see him of a long season. For a long time he had wanted to see this man called Jesus. Because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Maybe he's heard through Joanna, Chuza, his tutor, some of the things about Jesus. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. The apostles who knew Herod, they all knew Herod, said this in Acts chapter 4 and verse 27. For of a truth, against thy holy Jesus, thy holy child Jesus, they're praying to God the Father, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. They were gathered together against Jesus. How did the life of Herod end? Just a few years later, we know this from Josephus the historian, just a few years later, Herod was stripped of power. He died in great misery while in shameful exile. Wow, what a different path. What a different path now from Manaen. Now you get to Acts 13 and you read a man by the name of Manaen, who maybe he was like Moses in Egypt, who had a future in politics. He had a future in having what he thought was an influence on people. And he may have gone far. Had he chosen, and I use that word chosen on purpose, had he chosen to remain a companion of Herod, instead I think of Manaen as is recorded of Moses in Hebrews, where it says, choosing. Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt or Rome in Manaen's case, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, Hebrews 11, 25 and 26. This is Manaen. And here in Acts 13 and verse 1, as you read about Manaen, he's in a list where it says there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And when you look at this, the order of the names that are given and the particles that are used in the Greek language suggest that the first three who were mentioned were prophets. So Barnabas, Simeon, Niger, those first mentioned were probably the prophets. And the last ones mentioned were probably teachers. Manaen and Saul. Paul himself said, I was appointed a teacher in 2 Timothy 1:11. Their pursuit and their chosen associations is last. Manaen the teacher versus Herod the tetrarch. Together as children, far apart as adults. And so I call Herod the conniving tetrarch. He was a foster brother of Manaen. He was tutored by a man whose wife was a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Herod, the conniving tetrarch, became a politician. Herod, the conniving tetrarch, became a politician who was named Tetrarch of Galilee in Israel. Herod, the conniving tetrarch, who was a foster of Manaen, he was tutored by a man whose wife was a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, who became a politician, who was named the Tetrarch of Galilee in Israel, murdered John the Baptist. He mocked Jesus Christ and became an associate of Pontius Pilate. We read of his path, and that could be the path of any young person here today, and it could be the path of anybody else. You would have never thought that of Herod as a child. Oh, he's such a cute little boy. Oh, he's such a nice little boy. Oh, he's so polite. If that was true. But I want to compare Herod the conniving tetrarch to Manaen, the Christian teacher, who's mentioned one time right here. He was a foster brother of Herod. He was tutored by a man whose wife was a faithful follower of Christ, just like Herod was. Manaen became a Christian. You say, how did that happen? They're under the same tutor. Remember how I kept using the word chosen? How this man chose, this child chose. It's choices. He became a Christian member of the church in Antioch. He became a Christian member of the church in Antioch who served as a prophet or a teacher, probably as a teacher. He became a Christian member of the church in Antioch who served as a teacher and an associate. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, and Saul. Two young men brought up together, took divergent paths. Two men nursed together, one an antichrist, that is, he was opposed to Christ, Herod. The other a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. F.F. Bruce says this, "What a commentary on the mystery and sovereignty of divine grace. That of these two foster brothers, one should attain honor as a Christian leader, while the other should be best known for his shameful behavior in the killing of John the Baptist and in the trial of Jesus." Harry Ironside said, "Mona Ain, though nurtured in the royal court, in all the corruption of those days, is now seen occupying much higher honor than Herod ever obtained, a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." And I can say with pretty good certainty, today one is in heaven, and today the other is in hell. Because of how they responded to Jesus. And I bring the sermon to a conclusion. How will you respond to the claims of Jesus Christ? Amen. Herod looked at him face to face and rejected him. You say, "Oh, if I just saw him." Uh-uh. No. What will you do with Jesus? Would you bow your heads?